This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We're at Leviticus chapter 3. Unless I'll get back past Exodus by the time we get through the book of Leviticus. Probably just need to cut that out for the podcast that we're doing and put out. We're about a year ahead on that. And so if you're listening on Facebook, those who listen on podcast are hearing about a year from now. We're in Leviticus chapter 3. And the chapter itself in Leviticus is very mechanical. And I want to address that up front. It's very mechanical. And what do I mean by that? Because God's going to give specific instructions about each animal that is killed. But if you just read this chapter, this is one of those chapters in Leviticus that you struggle with, because you don't really feel like you get a whole lot out of it, in the sense of you don't understand. And you have to tie it off to the greater part of especially Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then there are several other places in Scripture that deal with this offering, which is a peace offering. And it is the offering that is probably most understood and most used in Scripture, as far as the offerings that were made by the patriarchs. And what I mean by the patriarchs, I'm talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These offerings are a picture of having peace with God. Now, what do you mean by peace with God? Well, there's a difference between fellowship, and that's communion. That's the offering that we talked about in chapter 2, where we recognize the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And now I am able to come and actually have a relationship with God. I'm now able to actually be in the presence of God. I have fellowship with God. But the reason that is the case is because I'm no longer, as the New Testament says, I'm no longer at enmity with God, or we're enemies. And what do you mean by enemies? Why does New Testament call us enemies? Well, the New Testament calls us enemies is because God is holy and God is God. And when we are in sin, or when we are controlled by sin, that is, by definition, I guess philosophically, the best way for me to describe it to you is, it's not God. It's what God is clearly not. And you go, well, why is there not God? Why is there sin? Well, because the only way for you to know God, and the whole purpose of God creating the universe, the only way for you to know anything is to know it, that thing's qualities, and the only way to understand qualities is to know those qualities in opposition or in difference to some other quality. So if I said to you that somebody had brown eyes, but you were colorblind and you did not, you could not see the difference between brown, blue, green, you would not know what I was talking about. If you'd never been taught colors, you were born and you just lived a colorblind. You lived in a colorblind society, a society where nobody saw colors. And then I started describing colors to you. Well, you have no context for which to understand what I'm talking about as far as colors are concerned. Well, in the same way, when God created the universe, by definition, there has to be things in the universe that are not Him, that are in opposition to Him, or separated from Him. And that's why He says, I create calamity. I am after evil. He's not saying that he wants evil. What He's saying is when He made the universe, there is going to be evil in the universe, because there has to be something that we compare his holiness to and say he's holy and that he's good, he's God, and these things are unholy, they're not good, and they ain't God. And when Adam and Eve chose to do not God in the garden, they passed that on to us. And so we're enemies to God. We're at enmity with him. We're his enemy. And so when God made it possible that we would not be under the yoke or subjugation of sin anymore, we now could commune with him. We now could have a relationship with him. And we could have peace with God. We're not enemies anymore. We are a part of the same kingdom, the same family. We're at peace with God. And peace offerings are one of the things that are really mentioned the most in Scripture, because there's a couple aspects to it. First of all, it says in chapter 3, when his offering is a sacrifice of a peace offering, if he offers it of the herd, whether male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hands on the head of the offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Aaron's son, the priest, shall sprinkle blood around the altar. Then he shall offer from the sacrifice a peace offering, an offering made by fire to the Lord. The fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty liver attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove. And Aaron's son shall burn it on the altar upon the burnt sacrifice, which is on the wood that is on the fire, as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Okay, and you go, that's the pet that I don't know what it's talking about, and I've never been to an animal. I don't know what that's meaning. Well, there's some very unique aspects to this offering. First of all, the animal can be male or female. And what does that tell us? Well, that tells us we're not talking about a specific figure. When it says it must be a male without blemish, that's specifically speaking to Christ. When we're talking about male or female, that's probably us. God's probably saying this is kind of a picture of our own act. And so when you go, okay, well, it's male and female, so they must be talking about our sacrifice to God, how we present ourselves to God. Right, exactly. And then it says that whoever's offering it puts their hand on the head. That means they're the actor over there. The person who's bringing this offering is the actor in the act, and they kill it. They kill the animal. And it's a burnt offering, meaning that guy gets a portion. They place this fat, the fat and the liver and the kidneys on the altar, and it's burnt up. So that's God's portion. What happens to the rest? Well, you know, they skin the animal first, and then they also have all kinds of rare meat that go with it. And this is the first offering where everybody gets to eat. We all get to eat of the offering. We all get to eat together. The priests get a portion. They get a portion of the breast. They get a portion of the hind parts, the leg. I think it's the right leg, maybe the left. Anyway, they get a portion of it. And I don't see that in this passage. I know, because you got to find it in other places. And because we're a quick Bible study in the morning, I tell you, just take you to all those places, because then we would get in a morass of information that you just won't get. And I'm trying to give you the understanding of this so that you can see that this is about us having peace with God. This is about us sitting down at a family table and everybody participating in it, male and female, God, the priest, every one of us. This is the primary offering that it was talked about most of the time throughout Scripture, unless there's offering that's pointing directly to Christ. This is the offering that they did. This is when they went in. This is why they celebrated, because they take a really fine animal and they would sacrifice that animal, and they would, it'd be a peace offering to God. And it's a barbecue. It's a big old banquet. It's fun. It would be for the children. It would be one of those things that they always remember. And look forward to in life. It's the 4th of July. I mean, you know, it's that kind of often, and that's what it, and you were, well, it's not really the 4th of July. I know. I'm just trying to give you some context. We're just trying to get some context here. Okay. I remember when I was a kid, we always went to Granny Crane's house in, down south of Greenville in Bowling, Alabama. And they would have these giant, these barrels that they cut in half and put grates on. They were, you know, that's where they cooked on, and there would be two or three of them. And they would have chicken on there just like crazy. And they'd be putting on the barbecue sauce. And I can remember that taste of, you know, different parts of it are a little bit burnt. And you'd have that barbecue sauce. I just remember it being so, and so many people there. So many people there out there in the yard. And, you know, I was a little child. I'm talking about five, six, seven years old. And I remember it. And I remember it being one of those, you know, just big fellowship times, because all these people knew me and I didn't know them really because I was a kid. But I knew that they knew me and they treated me really good. And we got to eat all kinds of desserts and run around all in the yard. I mean, it was just, it was a great time playing with cousins that I didn't even know were cousins, or people that I didn't even know were who they were, and it was a great time of fellowship. It was a great time of fellowship. And this is what this is about. That's what this offering is about. And by the way, not only could they offer male and female, but they could offer different types of sacrifices. They could offer a sacrifice of the herd. In verse 6, that the offering is this peace offering of the flesh. They could bring a goat or a lamb, and they could do that. And it's the same type of sacrifice. He lays his hands on it, and they sprinkle the blood around the altar, and then they cook it. They cook the portion that they eat. They burn the portion that's for God. Then if he shall offer sacrifice, peace offering, verse 9, an offering made by fire to the Lord is fat, and it talks about the air of the fat that goes off, the fat that goes to God, and it deals with all the ways they take it apart and lay it on the offering so that God's involved in it. This is not just a barbecue where we forget about God. Oftentimes, when we have these big celebrations nowadays, we've left God out. We don't leave God out. This is an offering where we realize God gets a portion. This is a holy time. But it's also a celebrative time. It's the first offering that's really kind of a celebration. And, it's not kind of, it is. To have peace with God is something to celebrate. To not be at enmity with him is something to be excited about. Even in the midst of our sin, even in the midst of his atonement, even in the midst of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and us dealing with all this on the altar, we have room to celebrate, because I'm not an enemy of God. Even when I choose to sin, I'm not an enemy of God. I am wayward. I'm not wrecking by the path and the life that God has given me, but I'm not an enemy of God. And so many people who wander away from God feel like that they can never come back, and that they're lost, and they knew God when they were a kid, or they knew God, they wrote with God a couple of years ago real close, but now they got let the world get sneak in and get involved in how they made the decisions of their lives, and they feel like I can just never get back to that place. And that is just not true. It's absolutely not true. You can get back to God the same means, the same way you got to him in the first place. And how did that happen? Well, God paid for your ticket to his kingdom, so you don't have to pay for it. And second of all, the Holy Spirit drew you in. And if you realize that you need to move closer to God, well, the Holy Spirit's the one who's making you realize that. You're not realizing it in your flesh. You're not realizing it in your sinfulness. You're realizing it because God's drawing you. He's calling you back. And so you have a seat at the 4th of July chicken barbecue at Granny Crane's house. You do. You got to see that. Except it's way better than that, even though I thought it was fabulous. It's way better than that. You have a seat at the table. You've always had one. You always will. Rather than you choose to come and eat at that table, well, that's your choice. But But the truth is that we have a place in the kingdom of God. And when we don't function in that place, the one who loses is us. The one who misses out is us. The one who is hurting is us. And so God wants you to come to 4th of July. He does. He wants you to come to Thanksgiving lunch. He does. Even if you don't feel like you're a part of the family anymore, even if you don't feel that way, your feelings lie to you. You do know that, right? Your feelings lie to you. How you feel and the way God has made things may be in opposition to each other. We don't operate based off of our feelings as far as God's concerned. We operate based off of His truth. Now, our feelings can be exciting and great and wonderful, especially when we're working with God and seeing God at work in our lives, but our feelings also can lead us astray. And your feelings about where you stand with God, oftentimes are just not true and they're not accurate. You're not separated from God. You're in His kingdom. You're one of His children. When you decide to come back to the table and have fellowship with Him, when you decide to come back to the table and make peace with Him and allow Him to place His peace in your heart, well, you get to be a part of what He's doing. And that's really what this offering is about. It's verse 17 says that this shall be a perpetual statute through your generations and all your dwellings. You shall eat neither fat nor blood. And what is that about? Well, what he's saying is as a remembrance that you have a seat at His table and that you're a part of His kingdom. They didn't eat the fat and they didn't eat the blood. They never had ate the blood and they never ate the fat because that was God's, but everything else was theirs. And when we give God what He should and absolutely has earned to have, we get His very, very best. I pray that that will be the case for you. If you've wandered away or you feel separated from God, His kingdom is available to you. And just because you feel separated from Him does not mean that you don't have a seat at the table. You should get up and go to His table, sit down and eat with Him and know Him again as God and know Him as your God.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that He'll make His face to shine upon you, and that He will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.